While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him, and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The measure of a man's love for God depends upon how deeply aware he is of God's love for him. This is a quote from St. Diaticus, but a millennia and a half ago, out in the Far East. But it's one of the most relatable and hits to the heart of what the spiritual life is. It's the lungs of the spiritual life that we can't exhale until we inhale, that we first have to become deeply aware of the love of God in order to love God with all our hearts. But this is not something we can force. How does it happen that we truly become aware of the love of God to the degree that it forces us to go outside of ourselves and love him with our whole hearts? It's not something we force, but there is something we can do. We can put out into the deep. In our gospel, when Jesus encounters Simon Peter, goes into his boat, and he truly sees Jesus for who he is in an incredible way at the miracle of so many fish, Jesus breaks into his life. And for us, we can't make ourselves encounter Jesus. We can't force God to break into our lives. That's not in our power. It's in God's. But he wants to so badly. But putting out into deep is in our power. What does putting out into the deep mean, and what does that look like? This weekend, we are celebrating the reunion of 150 Christ Renews His Parish retreats at our parish. The grace of that is utterly incalculable. The amount of people that have encountered the living God, that God has broken into their lives, and the Lord has revealed his love to them, and they, in return, have given their lives to him. It's uncountable. Just this past Friday, I went to a family's house. They have a rosary group that meets every first Friday. They've been doing this for the past 24 years. And according to them, it all began on their Christ Renews weekend. The weekend when they just got together with a group of people. They spend themselves just doing good things, scriptures, community, things like that. But it was just an opportunity for them to say, "Lord, I want to encounter you. I want to become aware of your love for me. Please, here's your chance." It's not something that the people who put on the retreat calculate to make it perfect. It's something they pray about again and again, and they give their hearts into and just ask the Lord to come. And he does every time. It's not only Christ Renews, so many different things we have, kingdom builders, armor of God. It's not even events or groups. It's just giving God the chance, putting out into the deep and saying, "Lord, I want to meet you. I want to become deeply aware of your love for me so that I'm overwhelmed that I must give myself back to you. And it happens again and again and again. When the people go on these Christ Renews weekends, they're then asked, if you'd like to, you can volunteer to put on the next one for the next group of people that come. And so many of them are just, yes. I receive so much, I would be honored to help someone else receive what I got this weekend. And I've heard the past few months alone, so many times, they say it's a greater joy for them to give the next retreat than for them to receive it. The joy of becoming deeply aware of God's love for them, and then the measure of their love for God growing, it's their utter joy. The same way Simon Peter in our gospel, after Christ breaks into his life, in that same scene, Jesus tells him, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." The breaking in and the calling to mission is such a joy. After becoming deeply aware of the love of God for him, it is just the greatest joy. The measure of his love grows and is given away. But the only obstacle that resides in the middle is that we sometimes disqualify ourselves. The greatest joy of man is to receive the love of God and to give it away. But the obstacle comes in when we disqualify ourselves from the love of God, or we disqualify ourselves from being able to give his love away. Simon Peter, in one of the most jarring scenes I know of in the Gospels, after Jesus breaks into his life, after one of the greatest joys, the miracle of all the fish, and seeing Jesus in a new light, just, who are you? Right there in Peter's joy, Simon at the time, Simon's joy, Simon looks at Jesus and says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And what should be utter joy and just gratitude that Christ has come into his boat, into his life, Simon says instead, "No, you have to leave, because I'm not worthy of you." And Simon disqualifies himself at first. That's the beginning of Simon's relationship with Christ. And the end of the Gospels, in John 21, we see again Simon Peter out fishing. And Jesus, after his resurrection, after his death, after just before that, a few days earlier, Simon Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus appears on the shore, and while Peter's fishing, Jesus tells Peter, "Throw your nets to the side for a catch." And they catch incalculable fish. And they recognize Jesus. He swims ashore. He meets him, and on the shore, Jesus asks Simon Peter, "Do you love me?" And what could have been on Simon's heart could have easily been, "I told you, I'm not worthy of this. I told you I'm a sinful man from the start. You knew, Jesus, that this would have happened." But that's not what Simon Peter says. Instead of him having the chance to say, "Yeah, this is me. I told you I'm disqualified." Instead, Simon Peter had come to know Jesus those past 3 years. And his simple, humble response is, "Yes, Jesus, you know that I love you." He doesn't say, "You know, I'm sinned, no big deal, whatever." He doesn't disqualify himself saying, "I'm outside the loop now." He just says the simple truth. "Yes, you know I love you." Because over those 3 years, he took his eyes off of himself and actually placed them on Jesus and just how good he is, to the degree that he knows he's a sinful man even more than 3 years ago after denying him. And even in that kind of sin, he just trusts the Lord. And after knowing Jesus so well, he can say, "Yes, I love you." The Lord calls us and he sends us on mission. But any obstacle that gets in the way, we simply must remember the measure of man's love for God depends on how deeply aware he is of God's love for man.